And we come together this day. We pray you've accepted with great joy our praise that we have given you. And we just bless you for your presence because you have, in fact, come to your house. In Jesus' name, amen. We welcome you this day. Pastor and Mrs. Duncan are away visiting his folks. But on behalf of him and Nancy and me, we want to thank you for all the Christmas cards that we received. Nancy and I would read every card very, very carefully, front and back, and everything that's written in. We thank you for your remembrances during this time. Well, let's go back in time. Can we do that? Let's just sort of go back in time. Thank you, girls. The year was 1947. Thank you. Sorry, my signing part.
Neil.
Oh, what, Dad?
How you doing, son?
I'm doing great, son.
I'm on my house again.
Good. Pass them down. Pass it down. You can't get them here fast enough. I may have to go out. Thank you. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom. I'm 13. You really shouldn't have. Oh, you put rocks in there again. You tricked me. You tricked me. That's not nice to trick your own family. Here, I thought I was getting something really good. Boy, you did tape a good job here. We have a custodian. A belt! Do you know that's what God does when we give him our gifts? He throws them down. He dislikes them. Do you know that the Bible tells us when Christ came into the world, he said, I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your offerings. I don't want the body that you prepared. But in the case of Jesus, that body was prepared for us. And he also says in Psalm 51:18, I don't delight in your sacrifices. Or I would bring it. I do not take pleasure in your burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a contrite heart. God, you will not despise. So this is written to those people, you know, centuries ago. To translate that to our 21st century, God is saying, you know, I am not pleased. And those are the words in the Bible. I am not pleased. Or he also could say, I do not delight. You know, in your 1 hour that you log on Sunday morning, I delight in it. What I want is more of you for me. And I don't really want your dollar bill. What I really want is the man behind, the woman behind, the young person behind that dollar bill. That's what I want. But I think we're caught up so much in trying to please one another that we forget that God wants to be pleased with what we offer him. And sometimes we just don't realize that God has reactions too. Now, I threw all that down because that's the way it happened. I got socks and I got a belt and I did not like it. I threw it down. Now, God also is a God who has emotions. Maybe you've never thought about that, but you were created in whose image? God's image. Do you cry? Do you weep? Do you get hungry? Do you get tired? So did Jesus, these things. So if we can get angry, so God can get angry. And as a matter of fact, some of you remember the story of Jesus when he went to the tomb of Lazarus. He was so mad, the Bible says, that he got angry at the people. And the Greek word used for this anger means he snorted like a horse. This is Jesus, the Son of God, snorting like a horse. Why? Because he's disgusted. He's displeased with what's happening. And you know, people, I feel it's the same way with what I give him. God is saying, you know, you're giving me so much garbage, Neil. What I really want, what I really want is you. And when we're all consumed with gifts like we have been this past week, many of us, you know, we actually forget whose birthday it is. Now you say, well, that didn't happen to me. It probably didn't, but it happens to a lot of people. In fact, one of my granddaughters went to school before school was out, and she was talking to some of her friends, and she made the comment that this is going to be a birthday for Jesus. And her friend said, no, that's not true. And she said, it's Jesus' birthday. This is just an 8-year-old girl. Her friends got so mad at her, they didn't push her down, but they pushed her away from what she was trying to say and to do. In fact, it damaged her so much that her mom and dad called and said she doesn't want to go to school the next day because these kids said, you don't know what you're talking about. Jesus' birthday. So, you know, while we know it, everybody in the world does not know it and certainly do not recognize it. Our topic today is this. Did Jesus get what he wanted for Christmas? I wonder. 1 Samuel 3:1. Would you read that to me? Now the young man, Samuel, was ministering before the Lord under Eli. Samuel, ministering unto the Lord. And it says, what age was he? Okay, a word that means from birth all the way to 40 years old. Now, the historian Josephus was 12 years old when God gave him his prophetic call. Jesus was how old when he went to the temple? 12. And at the age of 12, that is when the Jewish boy became obedient, responsible, and accountable to the law. Sort of a parallel. We got Samuel ministering to God. And when I looked up what ministering means, what does ministering mean? It means to give aid. Give service. So what is ministering to Jesus but giving him gifts? Giving him gifts. He wants your gifts, people. And so I'm going to ask, did he get what he wanted for Christmas? I might as well tell you right now, I did not get what I wanted for Christmas. And if anybody wants to carry this further, my wife Nancy is somewhere, you can ask her. But I did not get. I want to ask some of you, I just want you to stand up and just say yes or no. Did you get what for Christmas? Open your bulletin, would you? All of you, turn to the back page of the bulletin. The back page of the bulletin. And those of you who have a yellow dot, I want you just to stand up and say, you've been chosen. Say yes or no. Did you get what you want for Christmas? Who's got a yellow dot? Say yes or no. Yes. Very good. Who else has a yellow dot? On the back page? Okay, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, good. Yes, okay. You had these three special people, and they all said yes. Did Jesus get what he wants? First of all, God has needs. Would you read that for me? We may think of God in the same way. We pray to get from most of our prayers. If God does own it all, what could he possibly need from us? And don't think too much of God needing anything, but he has all he needs, some would say. But the cross is proof of that. The cross shows desperately God's love for us, and he needs our love in return. He has needs. He wants gifts, and yet he does own it all and has it all, but he still wants something from we who have been created in his image. In the Old Testament, in Genesis, there's a story about two men who brought gifts. Abel brought gifts. And I like the Hebrew writing. It said he brought a gift. And we're talking about gifts now. And the Bible says that God was pleased with his gifts. He was pleased with Abel's gift. And so I'm wondering, is he really pleased with what we did or what we did not give him? So don't be offended. I want you to see this or think me irreligious. Here are some things he wanted for Christmas. Actually, he wants Christmas all year round. And the unique thing is this. With the DNA that we've got, you cannot give somebody else's gift. It just doesn't work that way. Like, you could be right now listening to me and hearing me with your spiritual ears. The one sitting next to you or in front or behind you is thinking about this afternoon, game, or what they're going to do, or planning, or building, or something. We are at different places. And so I guess the phrase is, you can't, how does it go? You can't lean on somebody else's breakfast, something like that. In other words, we are responsible individually to give God these special gifts. And he just wants them so much. The scripture tells us, going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. May I repeat those words from God's word? He says, going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. So I guess it boils down to this. I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. I can't see the real you, you don't see the real me, but God does. And God is seeing how we are and what we're giving to him. So, number one, the first thing, God needs praise. One of the missing elements in our home today is praise. Husbands giving praise to wives. Wives giving praise to husbands. Children giving praise to other siblings. Themselves giving praise to their parents. Praise goes so far. The last time you were praised, didn't you sort of smile inside or outside at least? It built you up. It did something for you. Now, I'm not dehumanizing God when I say it does something for him when we, in fact, give him this praise. Look at 1 Chronicles 16:25. Read that, would you please? For he wants to be included in what we do. He wants to be included with our plans. And I guess that's why he created Sunday, the Sabbath day, so that we would forget about our work and we would give some attention to him. He needs praise. We need to say. And, you know, if I asked you to praise God right now, you could, but it would be so mechanical. I urge you this afternoon, with every fiber of my being, for your ears to hear your mouth say, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. There's so much, you know, he's done so much, and we forget it. Much like years ago, before the age of electronics, the organ was played by pumping. Some of you have seen pictures or you know that. None of you have ever seen that because that was a long time ago. But anyway, somebody would pump the organ to produce air so that the person on the other side could play the keyboard. And this lady was on stage. She did a magnificent performance. When she finished, people stood and applauded. She took her bow. And then while she was soaking in all of this praise, she felt this tug on her dress. And so she turned and looked down, and here was this little boy, couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years old, who had been pumping the organ. He, in other words, was doing what she was presenting. And you know what he said? Looking up to her, he said, didn't we do a good job? Didn't we do a good job? This praise, God is using us to do a good job, to be that song and to be that song. Psalm 146:1. Read it to me, would you? He needs praise. He needs praise. It's so simple, but yet it's what we don't do. So I don't think that everybody here gave him that gift of praise. But as you see in your bulletin, there were three other gifts that we could have given. The other gift is that he needs to be loved. He needs to be loved. This is the greatest of all. In fact, that's what it says. Love is the greatest of all. You know, when my children come to me, even though they're married and have children now, and I hug them and they hug me, it does something. When my grandkids come and jump up on Papa's lap or Nanny's lap, I don't push them away. And you've seen the commercial. You come home from work and you're so tired and you just want to flop in the chair, and your little daughter runs to the door. It's her greatest time of the day. God is wanting us just to love him. Just to love him. 44 years ago when I got engaged to Nancy. She was living in a dormitory in the graduate school in New Orleans. And her house mother told her this. She said, Nancy, never let a day go by without telling your husband that you love him. And she never has. And I never have either. But I think we forget that God, who first loved us, wants us to love him. He just wants us to love him so much. In matter of fact, 10 years or so ago, at a diaconate board meeting, a meeting with men and women, deacons and deaconesses in our church, I said, I've got to confess to you something. And so they all picked up their ears, you know. Pastors are going to confess. What is it? What is it? I said, you know, guys and gals, I really feel that I love my wife more than I love God. Of course, I just got everybody talking. Good. That sometimes we can so focus on what we see, we forget to love that which we cannot see. And so this is one of the greatest presents you can give God, is to let Him know that you love Him. Matthew 22, you can read verse 37 and 38 to me. Love the Lord. The first and the greatest. Suggestions as to how you can love God? Well, you can present Him this present by saying it, I love you. So as I'm preparing this sermon, I say to myself, you know, God, I have thanked you for this. I have praised you for that. I'm a praying pastor. I'm a praising pastor. But you know what? I don't recall lately telling you that I love you. I don't recall actually saying, Jesus, I love you. Oh, why should I say that? He knows it already. No, yes, He does. But this is a gift that we fail to give Him. And I would venture to say that there are a lot of you listening to me that have not said that either, out loud. I love you. And I want to motivate you to say that this afternoon. Go to the bathroom and close the door if you have to. But say it out loud. Let your ears hear your mouth say, God, I love you. I love you. And it goes so much and far, and God just accepts this because He loves us. A number of years ago, Nancy and I were pastor of the Beverly Hills Baptist Church in Detroit, and we knew several wealthy men. And I recall the story of the wealthy man that everybody wanted to be like. Oh, if we could be like Mr. blah, blah, blah. You know, he's got this, he's got that, he's got it all. And here I am with what I have. And like everybody looked up to this one guy because he was looked up to. He was the luckiest guy in the world, people would say. Well, one afternoon, a couple of kids were playing around the neighborhood. They got to the edge of town where his house was. And it was a detached garage. And so the kids, as kids would do, they got a little close to the garage. And then they heard somebody crying, sobbing, weeping. And they peered around. And there was the man that had it all, weeping. And they actually heard him say, I just wish somebody would say they love me for what I am, for not what I've got. I just want somebody to... And he said this out loud because he was so caught up in this. And yet, people said, well, he's got it all. You know, we say, God, you've got it all. In fact, the Word says you own all the cattle on the Thousand Hills above Cayucas. You own all the cattle. You own everything. So you got it all. But people, He does not have your love that only you can give and no one else. He needs you. We were created in His image. Jesus wept. He got angry. He got hungry. He had emotions. And He's asked that, well, they asked Him. They said, show us what God looks like, Jesus. And some of you know what He said. He said, hey, fellas, listen, look at me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So Jesus with His emotions is showing us that God has emotions and He wants our gifts. He wants us so much not to be conditioned to this world, but to be reconditioned in spiritual matters. We're so conditioned to the fact that God is almighty and all-powerful that, you know, it's really hard for me to think that He has need of anything. Because He is a great lover, but He needs this. And I'm just going to ask, have you given Him your love? Quickly, number three, He needs to feel wanted. You open up the Tribune to the classified section, and you see all these ads in the personals of people wanting somebody. Our society is geared for people who want to be wanted. We've been made like that. To be wanted. And we're not like a pet to God, because a pet is a poor substitute in return for our love. But God is just wanting us to say, you know, I want you to want me. Read Genesis 1:27 to me, would you? So, okay. Ministering to the Lord, people, ministering to the Lord requires intimacy. It requires taking off our mask and being real to God, because He already knows. Do you know that He knows what you're thinking right now? Oh. Ooh. Do you know that He knows what you're going to say before you say it? And He knows how we are with Him. And He says, I have created you in my image to be a friend. I want to be wanted, in other words. Not grammatically correct, but that's exactly what God does want. So when somebody comes to visit your house, you let them come in the foyer or the entry hall of your house. You don't keep them right there, do you? Last night some people surprised us in a visit. We didn't keep them right there at the front door. Oh, how are you doing? We hugged them and we hugged their kids. We didn't do that. No. We asked them to come on in. And I think Jesus wants us to ask Him to come on into our house, into our heart house, and not keep Him in the living room, but let Him go with us to the family room and even to the bedroom. Let Him come. In other words, let him come into our whole life, because He wants to be wanted. He wants to be wanted. In fact, one time I said, I really want you, Jesus. So I pulled up a chair and I just pretended that He was sitting in the chair. And believe it or not, it really does psychologically work. Put Him in the chair. I sit over here and I just sort of talk to Him as if I could see Him with the image that I have in my mind. And you would have a different image, of course. But there's something about Jesus, hear this, He wants you to want Him. He wants this very badly. The fourth gift that He could have gotten if He did not get from us is the presence. Now, this is different from feeling wanted. And the way I say that is this. God is with you always, right? We all agree that He's with us at all times. He will never leave us. He said that in the Word. However, we can leave Him. We can leave Him. And He needs your presence. Read Proverbs 18:24 to me, would you? In other words, He lays down His life for us to be His friend. Do you know that Jesus calls we who are Christians His brother? He also refers to us as a friend. Isn't that great? Do you know that Abraham and Enoch, two guys in the Bible who, it's recorded, they were the friend of God. Wouldn't it be great if in the annals of the history, where the recording angels are at work even right now, I might add, are writing down, John Doe is a friend. I can't think of a lady's name, but John Doe and whatever lady's name you can think of that you're not here is a friend of God. That would be so, so cool. But look at Luke 22:42-43. Read that, would you? Okay, thank you. Some of you recall the story, it's listed in Matthew also, where He left His disciples and He said, I'm going to go over here and pray, so you stay there. So He prays fervently and sincerely and honestly, says, Father, come on, please, I don't want to do this. Get me out of it. He goes back, He wants some help, and he finds the guys that are snoozing. The Scripture says that three times this happens. In other words, Jesus needed the presence of His disciples. He didn't have it. So what did God do? God sent His angels. And His angels ministered to the Son of God. He needs our presence. But I think the disciples blew it. Wouldn't it have been great if Jesus had been ministered to by His own friends? Jesus needed them. He needed their presence. He needed their concern. He needed their love. And yet they were just asleep. They missed ministering to Jesus. Like in Samuel, he ministered to God. You minister to God during the worship. That's what you do when you worship God, isn't it? You are ministering to Him. You are giving Him something. Like, I don't understand Jesus, but we know it's for us. We know that you love us for it. And in this case, Jesus needed them. He needed their presence. He needed their concern. He needed their love. But they were sound asleep. And I think we are sleeping too as Christians. I think our church sometimes, oftentimes, sleeps instead of waking up and doing what we're supposed to do. Well, this is a very important present that we could give to God. And in regard to Jesus wanting them, needing their presence, I know I'm speaking to some people who, even right now, are lonely. Widow, widower, maybe just living alone. There are a lot of people, if not here, certainly people that you do know who are lonely. But the greatest blessing to them is to let them know, let you know, let them know that they are never alone and that they never need suffer the pain of loneliness again. Believe me, people, learning how to enjoy God in your imagination just goes a whole mile. And I might add this. For me, ministering unto the Lord should be before we work for the Lord. That's not right. Ministering unto the Lord should come before we work for the Lord, right? So we all want to be working in His vineyard, but first we minister to Him. Well, sounds strange. It does sound strange. What God wants for Christmas. Don't be offended. I'm aware of His greatness. I'm aware of His majesty. I know He's the Most High God, to whom all reverence and respect is due, but people, He does get hurt. Not only by the unsaved who reject Him, but even by us who have received Him. He does grieve more than we know. He does cry over us, His children. So, who's going to comfort the Lord? Who's going to minister to His needs and meet His needs? The angels, certainly they are doing that 24/7. But you know, we are the people. We are the people to minister to the Lord. And when we get a taste of this, and when we get a response to our in our soul, we will be glad that we gave the Lord what He wanted for Christmas, and actually throughout the year, making every day of this new year His birthday. So I speak of two presents, your present and His present. Now, to go back earlier this week, before Christmas, this is what the tree looked like, right? What's underneath the tree? Okay. This is what it looked like the day after Christmas, right? What's missing? The presents. But let me tell you, there is one remaining gift at the tree, and that's the tree, that's the gift, with a name tag that you can put on yourself, and that's the gift of salvation that God has for us. It is, in fact, the waiting gift at the tree. Let's pray, may we? Father, we thank You for this waiting gift at the tree. We thank You for the salvation that comes to us, for what You did, Jesus, and we bless You for that. We who are saved, I hope, can be saying, you know, Jesus, I'm going to fulfill Your need for praise. I'm going to fulfill Your need to be loved. I'm going to fulfill Your need to be wanted. And Jesus, I'm going to fulfill the need of Your presence. And with your head bowed and with your eyes closed, there are a few of you who have never went to that cross and received that gift. But right now, in the sacredness of our place, if you want to, for the first time, just say, Jesus, I want that waiting gift of the tree. Just lift up your eyes and look at me. Would you do that? Father, we bless You. We praise You. You're so good. Receive us as walking gifts in Your name.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
And may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord just make His face to shine upon you and give you a good day this day and a good day tomorrow, remembering that God is already where you're going now. Be blessed in His name. And we all can say, amen. If you like prayer, we have prayer partners down here. We'd love to pray for you about anything. Feel free and comfortable to come and we'll pray for you.